Therefore, Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance, but dead works and of faith toward God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, I wish you people were with me and my wife Sunday. Oh, there was 13 people come to Christ. And, you know, I had a hard time. I was sicker than a dog the day before, and I thought, oh, my, am I going to be able to go over there? And I prayed, and I had people pray for me. And sure enough, we were able to go. And God gave me a message, and we had such a wonderful time. Oh, friends, if you could just see the faces of those people facing 15 to 25 to 50 years in prison. You think they're not troubled? Well, we tell them about Jesus. And when they give their heart to Christ, they got somebody to go with them through life. Be with you for half an hour. Kick off your slipper. Sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. That's 1 Peter, 4th chapter, 12th verse. Beloved, be not surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. We've labeled this growing through trials. Now, God has instruments for a growth. First of all, we start with the new life, the Christian beginning of the new Christian life, which is spiritual birth. And it tells us, very, very, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Now, we know we have a spirit, we know we have, first of all, a physical birth. But that is not enough to get you into heaven, according to the Bible. Ye must be born again, or you must be born anew, or born from above. Now, Nicodemus was a very good man. He was religious. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court, and he was no drunkard, and he wasn't poor. But he heard testimonies. That's why it's so important to give your testimony. These Christians were testifying that they had been born again. Well, Nicodemus thought, my stars in the morning, my religion won't get me there. I just don't have what they have. So, what did he do? He sought Jesus out one night. And he came to Jesus and he said, you must be from God, for no man could do the miracles I do except Christ, God be with him. And he said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, you know what, friends? My wife went through that terrible ordeal of being convicted of her sin when she felt she was not a sinner. But you see, the Bible tells us that we have all sinned. Sure enough, come short of the glory of God. Well, you cannot be saved until you recognize that you are a sinner. Now, honestly, I know a lot of people who really do not believe that they're sinners, that they're just doing all right, and they're going to get there because they're good. Well, God's plan is birth, growth, and maturity. And God uses the Bible. He uses the church. He uses other believers to mature us. Now, God also uses trials to bring us to maturity. Now, you know, there's no such thing as a full mature Christian because we're always growing. Leastwise, we should be always growing. Well, some truths about trials in verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. Think it not strange. Christians have trials because we live in a sinful world. We are part of a fallen race, and I read in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We live in a world of turmoil and natural disasters. We live in a world of crime, sickness, and death. And I want you to know, friends, we've been having a lot of problems in the world, landslides and earthquakes, tornadoes. Oh, my. We've had more tornadoes here than any place in time and history in Colorado. And we've been having rain and thunder and lightning. And over there, overseas, you know, they're having so many trouble. Now we're faced with this swine flu. I believe that this swine flu is, part of it is hype. I don't think it's going to be as bad as they say it's going to be, but we don't know. We ought to be careful and guard our health as much as we possibly can. Well, it says in Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes a judgment. You see, some religions believe that there's a second chance, that after you die, you can go to a place and then somebody can buy you out. That's not true. You can't do that. Once you die, you die, and then after that comes the judgment. Well, Christians have trials because of the power of Satan. You think Satan is strong? Listen, I told you last week, I was sick. I just felt terrible. I just didn't think I could go and hold three one-hour services in this prison. And I prayed, and I had other people pray for me. And I couldn't get a message together. It was confusing. And who was doing all this was Satan. But then I told somebody, I don't know who told him, I said, you know, every time this happens, when Satan really comes down on you, you can rest assured you're going to have a good service the next day. And it's one of the best services we've had in that prison, truly. And there was 13 people gave their hearts to Christ, but I had a freedom of the Holy Spirit. Oh, listen. We have an adversary, the devil, Satan. Well, consider Satan's attack on Job. Man alive. Look what he did to Job. Well, you see why that happened, because the devil challenged God. And God answered that challenge, and he said, I'm going to take all of his children, I'll take his money. The only reason he loves you, God, is because you gave him so much. He's a rich man. And God knew that wasn't true because he knew Job's heart. But he did say something to the devil. He said, you cannot take his life because that belongs to me. Boy, howdy. So anyway, he took his children, took his wife, took his camels and all their things. And then he come down with boils. But you know, Job never gave up. Job knew God. Job knew God would come through, just like you and I know today. You say, Cecil, I'm losing my house. I'm lost my job. I'm going to lose my car. God will pull you through it, my dear friends. He'll do it. He'll take you right through to it. Now, he says it's like a roaring lion going back and forth attacking. That's what he's made. 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. Now, Christians are on a collision course with the world. Jesus warned of this conflict. Oh, he sure did. And many have suffered and died for Christ. And I read in Hebrews 11:36, and others experience mocking and scourging, yet also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went forth about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Boy, that sounds like something, don't it? Yeah. Why the Christian's trials are different, and I read in verse 13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. Hey, you're not at the end of the road yet. You're not at the end of the road yet. We can even find joy in jeopardy. And it says here that there's a design for our difficulties. And I read in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might the firstborn among many brethren. Well, after our trials will come glory, and I read in Romans 8:17, if any children heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him, for the anxious longing for the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. After our trials will come glory. Well, how does mature Christians react in their trials? Verse 14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Happy are you. Happy even when we are reproached. God is with us in our trials. Listen, Christians may have financial trials. Sometimes we make poor financial decisions. Sometimes financial conditions are out of our hands. And financial trials teach us to care and to give. Oh, friends, listen to me. My God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. Oh, listen. I'm telling you, friends, you say, I've gone through everything that I can possibly go through with. No, you haven't. But I want you to know, every trial is hard. I've been through so many in the 55 years that I've known him. Health, financial, or every other thing you can think of. But we can rejoice. We sure can. Look at Fanny Crosby. You know what happened to her? She was born blind, and I'm going to tell you what. She wrote so many wonderful hymns, and most every one of them talked about she could see. Remember the poet Annie Johnson Flint, suffering from terrible arthritis and health problems, often teach us to sympathize and pray. Hey, friends, let me tell you what. You say, well, I know so many women lately who've had breast cancer. My sister-in-law is one of them. A dear pastor friend of mine, his wife, has cancer. And I know another lady, she had cancer. Her husband run off with another woman, left her. And she's been going through it. But I tell you right now, this lady that her husband left her and would run off another woman, she is such a blessing to so many women that have had breast cancer. Oh, my stars. In fact, the matter is, the day of her surgery, my wife and I met her over at this hospital, and we went out in a patio in a beautiful garden there, and we prayed with her, and we told her, Lord, ask the Lord to go with her through it. I use this expression, like a walk through the garden. Remember the time I had my colon cancer operation? I'm going to tell you the truth. I was frightened. Honest, I was. When you hear about the big C, the cancer, you get frightened. My brother died a terrible, terrible, painful death with cancer. So we get a little frightened. And the night before I went in for surgery, I remember laying in bed, and I was, like I say, I was scared. Honest, I was. And I said, oh, God, May I have peace of heart and mind when I go in for surgery tomorrow. And may it be a walk through the garden. Well, I went over there at 5 in the morning, and they took me in there to prepare me for operation. I laid there, and I had so much peace in my heart. I didn't care if I would go to heaven that day or not. You know, friends, death, people fear death, but you know what? Death is like going to sleep, going to bed and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. But the thing is, why don't we want to die right away? Well, because we have loved ones and we don't want to leave, and we want to win souls to Christ as long as we're on this earth. Now, friend, if you're not winning souls to Christ while you're here on earth, shame, shame, shame. Everybody, you know what? God is no respecter of persons. You know what? He loves you if you're born again. He loves you just as much as he loves that great and famous evangelist, Billy Graham. Sure does. He loves you. And he's concerned. But you, I want to ask you a question. Do you talk to him about your problems? Do you go to him and say, Lord, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. Lord, I need some advice, I need some help, I need some direction. Now listen, that's why we talk about a personal relationship with a personal Savior. It is personal. He is concerned. You say, but oh, there's so many people in the world that are starving to death, and people doing this and people doing that. Don't make any difference. God is concerned about you personally. If you're born again and you know Jesus, he is concerned and he wants to take care of your needs. Christians may have trials concerning their families. Even the faithful often suffer in this area. These trials teach us to rejoice in the family of God. Christians may have emotional problems. Many find help from Christians' counselors. Emotional problems teach us to learn, lean on Jesus. You know, friends, I used to go to a mental hospital out of Cedar Woolley, Washington. And I'd go and I'd visit those dear old people. Now, honest, most of those people, believe it or not, had a smidgen of religion. They'd heard, maybe they were Seventh-day Adventists, maybe they're Jehovah Witness, maybe they're Mormons or Muslims or whatever, but they didn't know Jesus. You know, friends, a lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They know about him, but they don't know him. And you've got to know him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The first thing he tells us to do is to repent and come to the Lord as a little child. That means you got to turn your back on the old way of life. You've got to make a decision. You're just like the prodigal son, remember? He said, I shall arise and go to my father. Here he was living in gross sin, feeding old hogs. And he said, my dad's servants have more food than I got. He said, I will arise and go to my father. What a great decision. Well, that's what you should do tonight. If you don't know Jesus, you'd arise and go to your father. Well, now, let me ask this. You know, some people say Christians can't have emotional problems. That's not true. Some people say that Christians can't have financial problems. That's what the neighboring claimants say. Well, they're lying. Everybody has trials. But see, a Christian don't have to go through these alone. A lost man has to do it all by himself. But the Lord said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Let me ask you, how are you doing in God's school of trials? Are your trials making you better or bitter? Look at Jesus in trials. He understands and cares. Remember Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before you were lacking opportunity. Do you care for other people? Does it break your heart when you know someone had died and didn't know Jesus? Boy, it sure does me. That's the first thing I think. Were they saved? Were they going to heaven? Well, friends, you know what? You and I are issued a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, you are. Every Christian has a job. Now, if you're not, you say, well, I go to church, Cecil, on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I go to prayer meeting, and I do this and I do that. That's fine. And you read the Bible and you ask the blessed table. That's fine. That's good. And you should. But the most important thing is, are you telling others about Jesus? Come on, are you? Have you ever witnessed to someone? Have you ever tried to introduce a soul to Christ? You say, Cecil, I'm bashful. I don't know much about the Bible. Well, I think you could probably learn John 3:16. That isn't too hard. Most everybody knows that one. If you know John 3:16 and you have a testimony for the Lord that you've been born again and delivered from the curse of sin and your name written in the Lamb Book of Life, you are qualified to witness to somebody else. That's right. Don't let the devil tell you you can't do it. And see, when you don't witness and you don't try to win souls, you're denying the Lord. Just like Jesus did, like Peter did out there at the fire when Jesus was crucified. They said, hey, aren't you one of them? Oh, no, no, no. He even cursed. He said, I'm not one of them. Denied the Lord three times like Jesus told him he would. Friends, listen, I don't know where you stand today. I don't know if you're born again or you're a church member. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's a lot of church members who are absolutely not born again. They've even been baptized. My wife had been baptized, but she was lost. If you'd like to trust Jesus today and you have a tugging at your heart, won't you bow your head to me right now? And I don't want you to pray this if you don't mean it. I don't want to coerce you into making a decision that you don't want to make. I want you to make it because the Lord wants you to make it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to turn my back on the old way of life and come to Jesus. I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. Lord, help me to grow. Help me to live for you. Help me to do the things that you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, why don't you get on the phone? Call 303-471-8534. That's 403-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Beloved, I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Just like I told those people over there in prison yesterday, did you know? I said, you better love me here on this earth because you're going to have to be with me all and through all eternity, which means time without end. Don't think about that too much. It'll blow your mind. If you prayed that prayer, won't you call and tell me, 303-471-8534. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, call me. Call me collect if you can't afford this call.
Me and made me whole.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you so much for listening. And oh, I want to thank all of you precious people who pray for me and my wife and pray for our health. You just don't know what it means to me and to my wife. Well, friends, listen. You keep praying that God let us come out to the West Coast. Maybe not in September. It might have to be October. But pray we get to come out there. There's so many. I'd like to preach in prison there in the Dalles. I'd like to preach in three or four churches and meet some of my loved ones, friends I haven't seen for years. I haven't been able to go to the West Coast because of my health. But pray for us, would you? And then this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.